Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim, your host. Today we'll be discussing the birthing phase of a movement. I'm really encouraged to have all of you as my audience again today as we are examining a very crucial phase of a movement called the birthing phase. In fact, a lot of movement birth and die during that stage. Or a lot of would-be movement, potential movement, would have become a movement if the correct elements were in place for the movement which has just been birthed to continue on with full momentum. Joining me today is Blair Phillips. Blair has assisted me as the manager of the One Thing Global Leadership Summit for some time. So he has a first-hand observation view of the prayer movement and how it's connected to the diversity of expression of the prayer movement around the world. So Blair will be asking a lot of questions that is very pragmatic, so that an emerging young leader can draw out key principles related to birthing of movements.
Yes, Daniel, I'm thankful to be with you on this podcast today, and I am thankful to also ask you these questions. You are one that I greatly admire in your understanding of movements, and also as one who's journeyed with the prayer movement, both locally in Kansas City and also globally and internationally and in many different continents, I would say. You've seen these phases of movement, and so I'm really excited to join our listeners and being their voice and asking you these questions.
So obviously, when we study the birthing phase of a movement, oftentimes when we study movement, we study them in retrospection or in reflection. Mm-hmm. In other words, the movement has already become a movement. Mm-hmm. When it's at the phase of birthing, we are looking at it from a very different vantage point, which means that it's at a stage where potentially it can become a movement, but it might not become a movement. Mm. I'll give you an example. Jesus and the disciple, it became a movement of gospel revolution that has been unstoppable until today. It rolled through the strongest, the most powerful empire of his day, the Roman Empire, that was adversarial towards the gospel for more than 300 years. Not only it transformed the Roman Empire, the gospel transformed the entire Western civilization for almost 2,000 years.
So true.
And so, but they killed the leader of the movement, Jesus Christ. They crucified him on the cross. Obviously, he rose again from the dead 3 days later, and the disciple became the witness of his resurrection. However, there was many moments in the story of the gospel where this movement would have not become a movement. They were infighting. There were tremendous weakness among the early apostles. There were heresy creeping in, trying to corrupt the purity of the gospel. There were so many threats in the early days. Mm. Now, I highlighted this from the Bible because we are all familiar with the story of the gospel in the early church. Mm-hmm. However, in modern day movement or historical church or revival movement, many of the would-be movement or potential movement, we have never heard of them because they never became a movement. So as a young emerging leaders, when either you are part of what is a potentially a movement or you're already part of a movement, it is then very important for us to understand the birthing phase of a movement. Because birthing doesn't just happen one time. Hmm. It can happen multiple times in the growth curve of a movement.
So Daniel, you know, I think I'm reflecting back on today, even the human journey of birthing phase, that there seems to be this long, unseen, hidden, seemingly small time, but yet so critical for formation.
Right.
What were some of the key things as you reflect upon many movements that you've been exposed to, and you've even heard some of the inside stories of their early days? What are some of those key things as a that even myself as a leader looking towards being a part of what the Lord's doing, if I suddenly have the self-awareness I'm in a movement that's just beginning in its birthing stage, what are some of those things I could take into that?
Well, Blair, you would probably be able to identify with some of these elements I'm mentioning. I think what is most notable in the birthing phase is the oversized role of a catalytic person or a catalytic story or narrative, an event. And an event could be profoundly positive and transformative,
or it could be
tragic. Because many times a tragedy can turn into a movement because people are trying to prevent that tragedy from happening again. So it attracts a lot of sentiment and galvanizes a lot of resource around stopping something tragic from happening again. So there's always a catalytic personality, or maybe more than one, but usually very concentrated few, that is involved in the center plot of that storyline. And in the early days, their role is oversized. In fact, a lot of movement live and die around the storyline of those few catalytic personality.
Well, now I'm getting into some questions for later down the road as we get out of the birthing phase for, you know, what happens when that person or certain individuals who help the birthing phase do die and the movement carries on. But carry on. I'm excited for what's coming, and I hope our listeners are having their juices flowing just like myself also.
Yes, I want this conversation and dialogue to be really practical.
Yeah.
In other words, it's identifiable to an average emerging young leaders who are thinking their mind right now. How do I be part of a vibrant, revival-based movement that has life in it? And the life continue for many decades. Because we know from the study of revival, a lot of revival and catalytic movement are short-lived.
Correct.
Actually, they're not short-lived. They have cycles and rhythm. And some of them has very long period of time where the two high points of the peak of the rhythm is so far apart, you can't discern them. And so I would say that the oversized role of the catalytic personality or the narrative around few catalytic personality, those are very important. In fact, if we want to, we discern from the Holy Spirit, not merely just using human technique or marketing genius, we need to discern how to partner with the Lord when the Lord is moving to magnify and focus that storyline or what is happening in someone's testimony.
So I'm hearing you say that we really have to, as you're saying, capture the storyline to help in the birthing phase that be saturated into the people that the Lord involves.
Yes. I'll give you one example that probably many of you know. Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew used to go and do heroic act of smuggling the Bible to nation that are strongly against the gospel, communist nation. And because of his storyline, he has an oversized catalytic vessel that's bold. The entire movement and ministry was birthed. And Chuck Colson, who was a very important figure in President Richard Nixon's administration because of the Watergate scandal, he was sentenced to prison. And out of his tragedy or his imprisonment, the Prison Ministry International, with more than a couple hundred chapters, were birthed, you know. Wow. And so many, many people in prison were discipled through Prison Ministry International. And so it's a story of a person and how that's magnified. But there's also an urgent moment. The context matter. So when everybody feel the Holy Spirit is highlighting the storyline and the number of people that can identify with the storyline increase because they felt it, they are not distanced from that storyline, It could be even the issue of the recent shooting around school in America. Mm-hmm. Everyone could identify with that because many people have children in school. Mm-hmm. It could be even, for example, the cyclone that hit the nation of Myanmar in 2008, where my family and I were involved in disaster relief, and because so many people have family members that died, mm-hmm. you know, and some of you may know that part of the story. My daughter, Emmanuel, passed away during that disaster relief. So when we grieve over the loss of my daughter, and the nation has also family members that die, we are in the same urgent context together. There is mutual identification. So when the messaging were done through such a context, a movement is easily produced. And God uses moments like that to fuel and accelerate a movement and birth a movement.
So you've touched on a charismatic figure.
Not so much charismatic, because catalytic means they were like catalysts to spark a movement.
Spark something.
They might not be personally gifted,
but they have the Lord's anointed them or has gifted them in that time period.
There is a highlighting of them.
And upon them being highlighted, there's also a magnification of an issue.
Because at any given time, there are many issues that are happening in many societies and globally.
And they're all valid.
They're all valid and they're all equally important. But how is there a focus magnification of that?
And then with that magnified individual, magnified issue related to that individual, and then you have what you would call the urgent moment around that issue.
The timing has to be
right.
Those
are all kind of three key ingredients that you can be self-aware with, even looking around to realize that the Lord even has placed you in a birthing moment of a movement.
Yeah, if you are caught within the presence of all these three elements, then I think as a steward of the kingdom of God, you should pray and partner and suspect, God, are you doing something? Are you trying to birth a movement here? And so with the ideal context for that movement to be birthed is there are enough number of people that is engaging and they actually not only engage, they begin to commit to the value, the storyline. So I call that high number of people that's engaging. And then you have this prevailing, like a prevailing wind, a certain wind direction, a momentum, a movement forward that keep more and more people flowing into the same direction.
So the funnel keeps getting wider.
Yes, and more people want in. More people want in.
Happening.
Now, like I say in the previous podcast, the word movement is very neutral. If the cause is righteous, then the movement is heading towards the right direction. If the cause is evil, you can have a very, very viral and energetic movement that's heading towards a train wreck.
Yes.
And it's profoundly detrimental to society. Because movement, the word movement itself, is simply a neutral word. The content and the value that drive the movement is what determine the morality of the movement.
Yeah, but you're pulling out that there's that ideal context is the large amount of engagement by a large amount of people engaging, but then also a large amount of people telling the narrative to others. And so
without you actually mandating them to do that, they want to do that because it touches them. It's an urgent moment, it's a priority for them.
They're positive or negative.
It doesn't matter what the content is. I'm just saying the dynamic is such that it's urgent for them. It's relevant for them. It's urgent for them. They are in and they're jumping into the wagon boat, and they just flow along with the movement. Then you know the movement's birth, and then you also see that there is an acceleration in the momentum when more and more of these people in that masses of movement of people begin to emerge as a voice beyond the initial few or catalytic personality. So the number of leaders in the movement begin to multiply. So then you know it's sustainable.
And when you say leader, you just also related to the message of that movement, the voice, someone who's has a gifting to communicate that specifically.
Yes, Sometimes the person who catalyzed the birthing of the movement may not be the one that eventually grow the movement to a very large scale.
Mm-hmm.
The catalytic vessel is the spark,
mm-hmm.
but we need more leaders coming in to fill the movement.
So it's a very complex dynamic, almost like a fire starting in a little place in a forest, and with that catalytic personality in a highlighted moment and in urgency, but then kind of this wind of a general public that sees upon that narrative that carries that, and then all of a sudden you have these other spontaneous wildfires of leaders starting to develop, and it's happening all over the place. And so it moves beyond that initial beginning catalytic.
I think you said it really well. Yeah.
It's so, very complex.
It's very complex, but also very natural. We watch it happening
all the time.
In fact, sometimes it's hard to control it.
Mm.
But the birthing phases, you either birthed it, and after you birthed it, it accelerate for a moment. And usually, if it's birthed and it didn't die at the birthing stage, it will accelerate because there's enough momentum to carry it up with exponentially. But sometimes it goes up like a shooting star and then it comes straight down because there's not the right element to keep it going. That's why it's interesting to study movement in phases so that each phases we understand the right expectation and the behavior of the dynamic of that phase and begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
What should we do and how do we act as good steward in that phase of the movement? Okay, so yeah.
So here as we summarize this podcast, Daniel, what would be like the one thing or even two that you would tell our listeners that they should do or practice in the Holy Spirit and practice in the Lord or engage in as they realize that they're being part of a birthing movement?
Okay, I think we'll share that. You asked really pointed and good question here. The application point here is this. If you are in the center of the storyline, whether you volunteer to be one or you happen to be one and you became that spark, then understand the burden is on you. But understand your role, because sometimes your role is to spark it and your role is not to necessarily be the leader long term of the movement. So that is a very important question to ask the Lord. When I say the Lord here, I'm obviously we're talking about a Jesus-centered, Christocentric movement. So, and because it's about the increase of the glory of God, not the increase of human personality. But at the same time, you have to be comfortable to be used by the Lord to be that spark.
Hmm.
So, secondly, as a person, if you happen to be the center of the storyline when God is using you as a catalytic vessel, know that it can happen through positive event or negative event that we would classify as a very tragic event.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God can turn even very seemingly a disaster
into
opportunity. And what happened to Joseph, you know, when he was sold into slavery in Egypt? Who would want to be sold as a slave by the brother to another foreign place and go through all the things that is unspeakable and yet, been tested?
But the Lord used Egypt as almost the womb to birth nation
of Israel.
Israel
got the name Hebrew when they were alien in Egypt. You know, so a movement of people that saved not only the 70 people in the household of Jacob, but many who are facing famine during that time. And so if you are the vessel that is a center point, be comfortable, receive the grace of God, but discern in your walk and don't get stuck in that role necessary for long. Don't assume to hold on to it. Don't assume that you must be the center figure long term. Now, if you happen to be around a center figure or near or observing that someone is now the catalytic personality or have the catalytic narrative, and you are not, but you're near and you're discerning, then the other two elements become very important, which is focus, magnify, and urgent moment. Then if you're part of the group that can influence how to magnify the focus of that catalytic storyline, if you realize God really want to highlight that because God want to use it, then be that steward that help eliminate the distraction and allow a lot of resource and attention to be focused on the storyline, the prophetic narrative that God wants to highlight. And so you cooperate. See, in the world of where we want to champion equal opportunity, everybody wants their story to be heard. Everybody wants to be the center figure. Everybody wants to be the lead figure. But we need to have the heart of John 3:29, friends of the bridegroom, where we rejoice because the bride belongs to the bridegroom. We must decrease, we must increase. So when we see the Spirit of God coming upon a certain storyline or certain catalytic personality, let's rejoice and allow the focus to be magnified. Let's champion that, you know, and discerning the urgent moment and remove the distraction. So I think those are practical things we can walk out.
Thank you very much, Daniel. That was very rich and it gives me a lot and our listeners to listen to.
Thank you. So stay tuned and join us again next time as we discuss the acceleration phase. That is the wild, wild west phase. Everybody likes that, but there's a lot of pandemonium and chaos and excitement and rapid growth
that's happened.